This is Mr. E and my co-host
Adam,
and today we're going to be talking about BBSs, bulletin board systems. I'm mainly just going to be interviewing Adam, so let's go ahead and get started. Tell us a little bit about the scene, the time period, and such.
Well, there wasn't really much of a scene because there was just, you know, the BBSs. You know, had one guy running the system. And he dialed up to his system, and, you know, it's kind of like a remote thing, kind of like, you know, things are today where people just, you know, they communicate digitally over the bulletin board. That's what it was for. That was the thing, was you went on to the bulletin board system, and you communicated with people in your area, and then eventually the bulletin board system grew to where they were on, like, a nationwide network. And so you ended up communicating with different people from around the country.
What time period did this take place in? Was this the 80s?
This was, for me, it was the mid-90s. Bulletin board systems, you know, they started probably back in the 80s. I don't know what the exact date was now. I think it was like the late 70s, early 80s. But for me, it was the mid-90s, probably 94, 95, on into 96 when the internet killed the BBS car.
Right, and we still have BBSs going on now, which we'll talk about a little later.
Right.
Just give us a rundown on what exactly a BBS is.
Well, let's see. A bulletin board system is a software program you installed on your computer, and it allowed people to dial up to your modem from their house using a terminal program, and they would create a user account, and they would have access to files to download. They could upload files as well, get access to what we would call today forums, where people would post different topics and then get replies from different people on the system and eventually replies from people around the country. And there was also door games, which were text adventures at first, where it wasn't like real-time multiple users, but you log on individually and you could compete in tournaments and such on these text adventures.
Right, and that was kind of like back in the old days whenever they would play chess through the mail. You know,
there was some play-by-mail games, for sure. There wasn't just chess email. We might make it on tangent here, but there was, like Star Wars kind of thing, Star Trek play-by-mail. There's actually a Star Trek play-by-mail game, I'm pretty sure, Star Trek, some kind of Star Trek universe. That was completely play-by-mail. But, and there was probably play-by-email, too. But this was more of a text adventure where it was scrolling text using some, like, ASCII, which is like 20 characters that you can use through your computer to display fake graphics that weren't real graphics, but you made a picture using the characters. And, you know, it was like little plots, like one of the big ones is called Legend of the Red Dragon. And it was, you go to the forest, and it would tell you that you're fighting a creature, and then what your hit points were. It's kind of a role play. And then another one of the big ones was Planet, the Exploration of Space, and then Trade Wars 2001, which was a space-based game where you travel from port to port buying and selling commodities and fighting Ferengi and such. And mainly it's an economy basis. Like today's
massive multiplayer online. Yeah.
Yeah, those things that I've never got into.
Me either.
Yeah, but you know, eventually you had systems that for multi-node, where you could actually go into the tavern in the game, and you could chat with other people on the system, and that were playing the same game.
Well, that's very interesting. I didn't know that about the gaming aspect of it.
Yeah, it's for the whole massive multiplayer, or not massive, but they were called MUDs, multiplayer, multi-user dimensions, I think they were called, MUDs. And so you could have as many people on the system as you had modem. You had to have one modem for every caller. So there were people that had these big boxes just dedicated to modem. So you could have, like, you'd have to have 32 modems if you wanted 32 callers to call.
Sounds like an early server.
That's pretty much what it was. You're a server. You were serving the community. And that's what evolved into ISPs from there. Because you'd have people call up your BBS and get their internet email and such. And then when the actual internet became graphical, you had to have a faster connection. So unless you could afford to have a T1 laid out to your house, then you were pretty much screwed. And plus, we were doing it for free.
Right.
We weren't charging for it. I mean, I had, like, donations. Like I said, if you want to donate such and such money to help pay for my phone bill and all this, then, go ahead. But I'm not going to make you pay it. Whereas the ISPs, they make you pay because they've got a bank loan for, like, thousands of dollars to get this line laid out to their house.
Exactly. Well, how did you get into the bulletin board systems?
Well, had a friend of mine, let's see, my next door neighbor, the girl I went to school with, and she knew I was into computers, and her brother knew a guy that he was running the BBS, and somehow I got introduced to this guy. His name is Handle Fast Jack, and if you ever hear this show, like, give out shouts to Fast Jack and his wife, Lady Arcane, and they were really cool people. He was my guru back in the day. I mean, I was like 14 or something, and he was a few years older than me. And he came over and taught me some stuff about the computer, and that might have been when I was on a Tandy 1000 that he came over. Before I upgraded to the Tandy 2500 with the 33 megahertz processor. And I think that's what I was running my BBS on. But anyway, so when I finally got the new system with the modem, I was ready to try out the modem. And so I ended up getting the phone number for his BBS from my neighbors and went on the BBS and got into his BBS team, you know, and got to know him pretty well. You know, we do the BBS thing. We play Dungeons and Dragons and Shadowrun and Battletech and all the fun geeky stuff. And, you know, I had a good time. And then eventually I was like, well, I'm going to start my own BBS. And so I downloaded the software and learned how to use it, got set up on the network and installed the game. You know, he helped me out a lot. And then I think they ended up moving or something. And his dad died and, you know, stuff like that happened. So I ended up having to take over assist off his BBS, which was called the Matrix. And this was back in the mid-90s.
Yeah, this is a very interesting story.
Was a term used for the global interweb virtual reality world in the game, Shadowrun. And his handle was one of the characters in the manual. Fast Jack was a character in the manual for running the Matrix. And my BBS was called X Incorporated. And I was Master X of X Incorporated. And so I was running my system, and then eventually I ended up running his system.
Was this popular? I mean, could you go to school or go, you know, walking down the street or something and, you know, mention BBS and people know what you were talking about, or was it kind of foreign?
Not at all. I mean, we hardly even had computers at my school then. Like, but everybody knew I was into that stuff, and, you know, because I was like the school geek, you know, one of like a few school geeks. You know, I had big glasses, and, you know, my mom dressed me funny and all this, and so I nobody really understood what a BBS was. Now, I did have my friends, you know, I had my few friends that were into the computer scene with me, and they were my users, and I ended up getting, like, some older people from the community that somehow they found out about it, and they would log on, and I don't know, I probably had only, like, 30 or so people, but that was pretty good for my little small town. If I'd been in a big city, I would have had, you know, probably hundreds of people, because that was, like, the end of the heyday
right, for
the BBS.
Right.
But, and I even, you know, I think I might have even had some, like, out-of-state callers, but back then it was kind of hard to get free long distance and stuff. And so you didn't really have people calling long distance to your BBS.
Well, I'm fixing to use the term sysop, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that was just the guy that ran the BBS, am I correct?
Right, the sysop is the system operator. And,
right.
That's just the term. You know, it's not really used that widely anymore for stuff, you know. But I guess it's webmaster or whatever it's degenerated to now. But the sysop was the system operator. And that was the person that had 100% access to that system. You could access your BBS remotely from any computer that had a modem, and you could call to your house and get on your computer. And if you had sysop access, then you could access your files if you wanted to on your hard drive over the phone line.
Are there? I know you mentioned the sysop that got you into it, but are there any other sysops or other bulletin board systems that really stand out to you still? That you really remember?
See, the only one I can remember that I might have communicated with the sysop was one called the Whistle Stop West. And I remember correctly, it was in Cumberland, Virginia. And that's the only one that really sticks out in my head, because for me it was long distance to call these CBS too.
Right.
And so I had to be part of the network. But I didn't frequent them because I had everything I wanted on my system. So I didn't need to call out except for my network call out.
And you mentioned earlier that your friends were your users. How many users did you have on your system?
Well, like I said, I think I might have had 30 or so users total. And of that 30, maybe 10 were active. And mainly they came on to read some messages, check what's now news groups or use groups, you know, and then they go to play they mainly came to play the game, you know.
Right.
Because it was like all of us knew each other, and so we'd go online and because you get an allotted amount of turns. It's not like you can sit there and play all day. You've got an allotted amount of time on the BBS, because if you're sharing one modem, then you've got to use up your time so the next person can call and get on. Otherwise, you're tying up the phone line, so you can't let somebody have access for, like, you know, hours. So you limit their access to maybe 30 minutes to an hour a day. And then the games, which are turn-based, you run out of turns for the day, and your character goes to sleep for the night, and then you've got to wait 24 hours till the system does its nightly maintenance before the game is accessible again for your character. But you can burn up a good little bit of time doing your moves on the game. And then if you had several games, I remember I had a whole bunch at one time. And so you could pick what games you wanted to play and then burn through all your moves. And then you've used up all your time for the day on the system. But then somebody else could call.
Let's see here. What you mentioned that you have ran two separate BBSs in the past, right?
Yeah, it was my friend's BBS. He just let me kind of take control of it because he couldn't run it anymore. He went away. They moved out of town, but he left the system running in his house.
Right.
So I'd dial in to his BBS, and I had sysop privileges on the system. So if anything needed to be fixed, I could just couple up and then fix whatever needed to be fixed. Check whatever needed to be checked.
What system specs, rather, did those run on?
Like I said, if I remember correctly, he probably had a similar system to mine. I mean, it's like 33 megahertz. God knows how much RAM. I mean, not much. Couple megabytes of RAM, maybe 64 wow. megs of RAM, maybe. I'm not really certain what the RAM specifications was on the system. Now I remember you had to load memory managers and all this stuff, and it was DOS. That's another thing.
Right.
We were still running on DOS, and like the big upgrade from DOS was Windows 3.1, and then not just Windows 3.1. I think it was Windows 3.11 for workers. You had to get if you wanted to multitask, because before with the DOS you couldn't multitask. You could only have one instance of the BBS loaded, meaning you could only have one caller. And then you could load up your local instance and chat with the user.
Right.
But if you wanted to have more than one person calling, you had to have some kind of multitask, like Windows for Workgroup. And so then you could have your windows. You'd open up different instances in different windows, and then different people could call, and you could monitor it all at the side. Where you get into the hacking aspect of BBS.
Well, that's definitely interesting.
Like I was mentioning earlier, you could dial up to your BBS anywhere, and if you had your sysop privileges, then you could literally drop the DOS and scroll through the directories of that person. If you're a hacker and you call up to somebody's computer and you got sysop access, you could drop to their DOS. You're actually on their hard drive remotely, and you could do whatever you want. You could run format, you know, just trash their whole system, delete everything you wanted, or you could, for instance, change your stats on one of the games. If you weren't quite so malicious, you could go in and give yourself like a super character on one of the role-playing games. Or, you know, download, well, you could download the files anyway, but, you know, whatever those malicious hackers do, and that's really what got me into hacking, was as a sysop, I had to learn about the hack so I could protect myself from it. And so, one of the main things we had was callback verification. So when somebody would log on to your system, they wouldn't get full access without leaving their real phone number. And so we would literally call back whoever that phone number and call that person. And if that wasn't the person that had made the account, then that user didn't get access. If they gave you a fake phone number and you called it back and it was somebody's grandma somewhere, then you didn't give them access.
Right.
And that was kind of how we kept the hackers out.
Huh.
And,
if only it was so easy now.
And I mean, I was thinking about this earlier today, and I'm not sure, but I think I remember not just calling somebody back, but maybe calling the operator and saying, I've got this phone number, and who owns it? Like some kind of primitive caller ID.
Right, right.
Like, you know, call the operator and say, yeah, this person called me here, and I want to see who owns the phone number, and if the name matched up to the real name they gave when they logged on to BBS, then that would work as validation, too.
Right.
Go ahead.
I'm sure right now a lot of people are thinking that BBS, well, this is old, outdated, you know, this only happened in the 90s, but just yesterday I had logged on to a BBS myself from a Linux machine and a Windows machine. And it's not as outdated and foreign as some may think.
Well, there's still BBSs around. There's still modem dial-up BBSs, and there's the new thing is Telnet BBSs, where you
is what I did.
Right, that's what you did. You can Telnet into a BBS, and now if you want to have more fun, it's better to actually dial it up because Telnet connection is going to be a little slow. As opposed to dial-up connection, which is going to be at least like a 56K modem speed. Whereas a telnet, you're going to get some lag. Or maybe that's just on my end, because I've still got dial-up. I'm still stuck in the 90s. But, you know, it's fun. You can go on, log on, create your user account, and play the games and read the messages and stuff. And, you know, it's nice. And, it's kind of like a little private community, because it's not out there getting cashed by all the big corporations. You know, what goes on the BBS isn't getting saved and doesn't have bots running all over it and stuff, reading what you're posting and logging your IP. So, it would be a good kind of underground revival
right.
for people that wanted to get away from the whole privacy is dead scene and get some privacy.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no guarantee because your communication is still going over copper. And it's still getting logged with the switches and such. But the sysop doesn't really care what you're doing as long as you're not violating his terms of use. If you're not uploading porn or whatever, you know, they're against. I mean, there's a bunch of porn BBSs that I there used to be. I don't know. There probably still is. I mean, everybody loves porn, but,
yeah.
You know, that's the internet for you. But yeah, there's still BBSs around. I mean, there's not as many of them as there used to be, of course, but, I've played some games. I got into BBS games a few months ago just because I hadn't played it, you know, 10, 12 years. And they're still fun. You know, they may not be eye candy walking around with your big ass sword on some planescape somewhere, but it's still a good time.
I can't really think of any other questions that I have, but there's so much that we that there is to cover that we can't cover. And I would suggest anyone that's, you know, interested in the history of BBSs and such to check out the BBS documentary.
You know, I haven't seen it. I'd love to get a copy of it and
right,
because I'm sure I'd find it real interesting.
Right, I will be getting you a copy of that.
Just reading the wiki on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did
really
that as
informative.
Well.
And you know, I learned a lot of stuff I didn't know because I ran a web that's a World War IV WWIV.
Right.
Which at the time, you know, I was just like, okay, this is cool, it's free, you know, until you register. I think I had to pay $80 to register it for lifetime registration. And but apparently, looking back at the history, the World War IV systems were the big popular underdogs, and they created their own network called WebNet, which rivaled and actually finally defeated FidoNet until they had to come to a truce and combine, make a gateway in between FidoNet and WebNet. And so, you know, that's pretty much kind of where we get Usenet from today, and that's probably not true, you know. But if you know anything about Usenet or Google Groups, which uses some Usenet groups, and it's got its own groups, but that's kind of like a natural extension of the BBS message board, where you post a message on there and you wait a few hours or a few days to see who responds.
It seems that like a lot of the current technology from the internet and TCP/IP and such, it seems like a lot of this came from the BBS. You know, like we were saying earlier, where, you know, people had boxes that had just modems on there, and to me that seems a lot like the servers. And is there anything else that came from that that could be
well, I don't know. I realized something recently, how similar the WIV BBS, I'm not sure about the other one, how similar it is to Linux, where when you register the program, the free version, you get an executable and you run your executables and that sets it up for you. When you register the program, the guy sends you a disk with the source code on it. And then you can modify the source code however you want. And then you have to recompile it and you've got your own custom source. And there was a lot of mods for it. They were called mods. And that would add different features to your BBS that weren't originally included, that were written by a third party. And so you'd have to go in, and you'd have to know a little bit about what you're doing, and then you have to add this mod in the right part of the source code, and then recompile your executable and get it to run without crashing. Get it right. You know,
so yeah,
I made that comparison to
Linux. That is an awful lot like Linux.
Oh, but Linux has been around for a lot longer than BBS itself. So,
well, yeah, true. You know, Linux, Unix, yeah.
So
but
it's not an evolution, but it's a.
But
it's
I'm not sure that you could recompile a Unix kernel, or because I've never messed with Unix before.
I don't know either. But let's see. Yeah, I mean, a BBS was the precursor to the ISP,
right?
Because the guy that started the local ISP, he was one of my users. And I was 14, and this guy was, like, however old, and he's, you know, he's starting his ISP. He's getting T3s and T1s laid out to his house while he's talking to me on the chat on my BBS, and he's asking for information about how to set up stuff with the users and stuff. And I'm like, hey, this is pretty cool, you know. Maybe he'll give me a job. And of course, you know, never gave me a job, so I was just a kid. But, I mean, and he had a BBS. And in the beginning, the ISPs were a BBS. You logged on, you dialed up to the ISP, log in using your username and stuff, and then you went to one of the commands on the BBS, that took you to the internet. There wasn't any of the dialing directly to the internet, your browser popped up. It was like you logged on to the BBS, and then you logged on to the internet from the BBS. And then they came out with the client server stuff, where like you installed the client side software on your computer, and that bypassed the whole BBS thing. Where your computer was still dialing the BBS, but instead of getting the BBS information, it hit the command for you and put up the graphical interface for you. But you could still dial manually into the BBS and use stuff like Gopher to search the internet using text-based. But that's out there.
Right.
That's a whole other show, right. Probably about Gopher and the internet without graphics.
Before we end the show, I think we should maybe give the listeners a little idea of how to log on to a BBS themselves. And if you would like to, you could, or I can tell them. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, let's see. I'll start. First, if you're gonna dial up to a BBS, you're gonna need a modem, obviously. Hook it to a phone line, and it's probably gonna be long distance, so you're gonna have to have a calling card or some way to make a long distance phone call for free, unless you feel like paying for the however long you're on the BBS. And then, of course, you need to find a BBS in your area. Use your internet connection and search for BBSs in your area, or search for one that looks neat. And you're going to need a terminal program, which I think Windows has some kind of crippled version of a terminal program, but
it's called Hyperterminal.
Hyperterminal, which I've never used that for anything constructive. But there was a program, I think it's called SOCOM, which I think that, C-R-O-C-O-M-M, and I think that might have been a popular dialer. When I was BBSing, I used the package of software that came with my modem. And I don't know if you could still get it or whatever, but it was called Quick Link to Fax Gold. And it was like a fax modem software package, but it was a dialer. You know, when you put your phone number in there and set it to, you had to set it to 8N1, it's like bits and parity, and that's like a standard setting for modems. And that's what most BBSs use. But if you're going to dial up to a modem, you might have to do a little tweaking, you have to do a little reading to get it to connect just right, but it's not that big of a deal. So you're going to tell them a little bit about Telnet?
Yes, that's what I was just about to get into.
All right.
Here, a few days ago, I really knew absolutely nothing about getting into a BBS, but with Adam's help, I managed to do what's called telnetting, and it's really quite simple. I just went into Google Groups and searched for telnetable BBS, and I found a link that had many, many, many of those, and let me just bring that up real quick, if I can do it real quick.
Well, while you're doing that, I pulled up the same list, and it's not exactly current, I'd say, because I tried the same list, and I had to go through probably the first 6 or 7 of the Telnet link to find one that actually either didn't time out before it connected or one that would actually connect. So, if it doesn't work the first time, try and try again, because there's plenty of Telnet BBSs out there.
Right. Well, I can't get it up to come up right now, but it'll...
All right, well, here's one that's good that I went on today. It's called the Eagle Stare. And this is, it's like a source site for WIV BBSs. It's a WIV BBS, and it does Telnet. Although I didn't Telnet in, I did something that was new to me. I went to their website, and they had a Java app on their website that would Telnet for you, and it was actually faster than just telnetting into the site. And so that was pretty
interesting. Do you have the address for that so I can use it as an example?
The address is...
Or for any BBS?
I've got the skulls.net. skulls.net is the skulls.net. And that's actually, I think his name is Reverend Eli, runs that particular BBS.
Right.
And he also has a website. I don't have it memorized what the name of the website is right now, but I use some of the information on his website to set up my own modern WIV telnetable BBS, which my bandwidth is so limited it doesn't actually have access to anybody, but I think I might be able to find someone with more bandwidth and maybe set that up.
All right. Well, now that we've let the suspense build, I guess we can tell how to telnet it now. It's actually quite simple, and it's the same process in Linux or Windows. You go to your terminal in Linux or your command prompt in Windows, and in the example of the skulls and crossbones, you would type telnet space skulls dot sytes.net. And hit enter, and it should connect you right into the BBS. It's that simple.
That's right. And it, when it loads up, it'll give you a screen, and it'll say new user, or enter your number if you're already a user, and you type in new, and it's a fairly straightforward process of logging on. It's going to ask for some information, and if it gets too personal, then I guess you have to fake it, but, you know, if you fake it too much, they might get on to you,
and you might have to find a new BBS.
Yeah, you might have to find a new BBS, but, you know, discovery is part of the fun.
Right, right. Was there anything else that you wanted to add?
Gee, I don't know. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's definitely all that I had on the notes, plus some.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad we got to expand on it and have a little fun there. Maybe we can send some people out there and have some fun. I think there was, for all the script kiddies out there, I think there was some BBS called the Uber 1337.
Yeah, I saw that BBS. One. Yeah, I wasn't brave enough to log on. Exactly.
There might be some modern, you know, hacking kitty kind of BBS scene out there that we haven't even touched on yet. So.
Oh. Also, it's as easy to telnet to a name address as it is to an IP. For example,
yeah,
I'm looking at one right now called the Palace of the Gods. I haven't tried it, but it would be telnet space 24.182.144.83.
It works
exactly
the same.
IP
and just telnet directly to the IP too, if you have the IP, or you can use the text there.
Right. The name site, as yep. I like to call it. Well, I do believe that's it for this show, guys.
All right.
Hopefully you'll be hearing from us again on TWAT, because everybody loves TWAT.
Okay, so we leave an email address for feedback or something?
Sure.
I'll use one of mine.
Okay.
It's whatthewhiteman@soul-from.us. What the White Man. whatthewhiteman@soul-from.
Well, I do believe that's it for this twat, and this has been
right.
Mr. E and my co-host Adam.
Yeah, and you guys have fun out there on the intertube.
Yeah, I hope that you all try out a BBS sometime soon.